Right now it is time to bring in the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys. You'll find them where? At tqag.com on the web. And we bring them in today. Good morning, guys. I don't hear you. Why don't I hear you? It says start call. That's why. I thought I had them. We'll do this again. Let's see what happens here. Ring the group. Yes, of course. See if they join in this time again. There we go. Hello, guys.
Hey.
Good morning.
Morning.
I thought you were on once. Were you on once? Did we get disconnected?
No. Yeah, I was saying something's different with Skype because it used to just automatically connect to you.
Yeah.
And now what happens is you hear like a little bubble going boink. And then you have to click on that, and then it says join call. Yeah. So I don't know if it's an update that they've done or what, but
it's an update. It's like most updates. They're just
Skype is wild. It's wild.
Yeah. And there's just stupid updates is what it is, actually. Well, anyway, yeah, we'll move on from that. So how'd you guys have a good weekend? And we headed now into the second half of summertime.
Yeah, it's been actually quite warm down here. It's been up like 97, 98 the heat index has been up to like 101. But it's still not as warm as it is in some other places in the U.S. I mean, used to be, I just remember as a kid, you know, everybody used to think it was so hot in Florida. Well, be careful what you wish for.
That's exactly right. Well, speaking about what you wish for, we talked about this in advance. The analog recording of Bob Dylan's Blowing in the Wind, $2 million at auction.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep. It features a full band. It's the only copy that will ever be manufactured or released. It's an analog version of it. And it fetched it went for $1.48 million, but with everything added in, it was like $1.9 million. Unbelievable.
Right. No, and that's all at Christie's in London.
Yeah, 60 years after the original. 60
oh my
years.
God.
And you think Bob Dylan, 60 years ago, this wasn't even the same planet in his mind sphere because he was such a great troubadour and such a great songwriter and actually performer. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I would. He's one of those legendary artists that would be on my bucket list, but I've never had an opportunity to see him in concert or anything. But speaking of Bob Dylan, I have to ask you a question. You know, with everything that's been, for example, like on not America's Got Talent, but what's the other one? American Idol. Do you think that in today's world, musical world, Bob Dylan would have a chance on America's Got Idol or American Idol?
Yeah. You know why? It's not necessarily his performing. The mixture of the lyrics he wrote, if the lyrics were contemporary with the times, yes, but you can't say that because the lyrics that and just the ideas and the songs that Dylan did were about the times we were in at that time.
And well, you know, though I have to say I believe that his lyrics, one of the reason that he's such a phenomenon and such a an icon is that his lyrics really are timeless. They can fit in any time because they came from his heart. And when he put out a song, it Blowing in the Wind, that could be today.
Yeah, but would he have had the same feelings today? Is what I'm saying. If he was an artist,
that's
the whole thing. Back then, it was a whole different time. But I do believe, and exactly what you said, that talent is talent. And yes, I believe that today, he would find some way to reach down and touch a majority of young American souls. I believe that because that's not a momentary talent you have. So I think that's adaptable. I think you're right. I think that's adaptable. But it's hard to say because things were so different back in the early 60s. Just almost like a different universe.
Well, you know, that time period, if you stop and think about it, and I think we've talked about this in the past, there was an innocence, even though there was a lot of turmoil in the world, nothing like there is today. So the fact that these lyrics sold for $1.8 million, I think is really kind of a testament to the innocence of the time and how that innocence actually still translates into 2022. So I don't know who purchased it, the lyrics, but
they weren't lyrics, Greg. This was an analog recording.
Yeah, this is
the recording.
This is an analog recording recorded on a piece of equipment that nowadays you would just, I think artists, like young artists would look at it and go, you know, I don't think people, I still have a dial phone in my house. And I'd be willing to bet you if a young person came in and I said, make a call on that, they'd look at it and they just would go, huh?
Oh, I'm sure you've seen the YouTube video of these two young teenagers, young boys that they had a telephone setting in front of them that was a dial, and that's exactly what happened. Somebody asked them to make a phone call and they couldn't figure out either or not
what to do.
Well, you know, there's a question I have for you, Tim, and Greg, you can chime in too. I was looking through the different auctions that are coming up, and one that actually starts tomorrow. It's a European and British art auction. There's two parts to it, okay? And I'm kind of amazed that, is this a normal practice where you break off, auction companies break off simply because there's so much volume of what they auction off? They try to get interest by breaking them down, by narrowing down the focus to things like this. Is this a normal procedure, or does it have to be a big event that comes up?
No, it is a normal event. Is that it's very concentrated as far as the focus, because that's a pretty broad range of artists and time period, if you're saying, you know, European and British. I mean, you know, so it's very focused, you know, it's not American. And there are certain collectors that really appeals to. So what they do is they will, the auction houses will put these sales together of similar types or time periods or classifications, if you will, of whatever the asset class is. And it does help narrow. Some are a little more broad. Like during the summer, it's a little more broad. There's a couple. Hindman is doing an auction in Palm Beach of a variety. It's their collection sales. So it does span all different types of collections, eras, artwork, furniture, furnishings, silver, Asian works of art. It's a little bit of everything. So it's more of a, if you're a decorator or looking for something, it's not one of the big sales where there's higher value. This is more volume. So that's kind of the difference too. So during the summer, that's when you see a lot of the diversity in what's being offered at auction.
All right, now it's instruction time. Contemporary curated art. Explain to me. I mean, what will you find? Who are the artists that you will find in contemporary art, as opposed to other forms of art? Well, and what is considered contemporary? Is it by date? Is it by era?
That's a very good question, and a lot of auction houses look at it very differently, because this is a debate that a lot of museums are going through. And I was actually just talking about this with someone a couple of weeks ago. Contemporary, and when I started in this business back in the 90s at Christie's, you know, your contemporary art sales were Keith Haring and Andy Warhol and, you know, Basquiat, these types of artists. Well, this is now, it's no longer really contemporary. That's almost 50 years old. It's vintage at that point. So it's the art and when it was produced is very different. And so when you're looking at contemporary and when they say curated, does that just means that there's some of the better selections of some of the contemporary art that's out there. But that becomes more of some of the artists that are contemporary, like within the last, and the person I was talking to was in a museum and they were saying, well, contemporary to me is within the last 20 years. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I said, well, what do you do with Andy Warhol or artists like that? I said, well, that becomes more of a pop art. You know, there's all these other labels that go in. So it is interesting. And I think each auction house, and I think everybody has this different view of what is contemporary art. A lot of auction houses are now going to 21st century art as opposed to 20th century art, or early, you know, classifying it by the time period that it was created. So it's a marketing tool when they do put that in there, but I'd be interested to see what artists are being featured in this curated contemporary art.
Well, you know, I believe that originally contemporary art was separated from modern art. But right. I believe it's kind of become synonymous. The two have somewhat become synonymous because contemporary, I think originally contemporary was meant to be for like living artists, that their art is contemporary and it's being displayed and sold. But then of course, you know, Picasso, Warhol, Basquiat, those are also considered, well, I can't really say that for Picasso. He's technically considered a modern artist,
right?
But it's kind of like the difference between a Kleenex and a tissue. They both do the same thing, and they both represent a product, but it depends on, I think it depends on your outlook. I mean, Basquiat and Warhol are deceased, but they're still considered contemporary artists. And you don't hear so much the word pop art as you do contemporary, for example, when it comes to Andy Warhol. I think contemporary has become a generic term for art and artists of the 20th century and living artists in the 21st century.
21st.
So, yeah, well, and curating, I mean, a curated exhibit, it could just be, for example, it could be specific Warhol pieces, you know, a certain period of time, like Picasso, a certain period, Picasso period. So a curated exhibition would be an exhibition that would focus on a particular period of an artist, possibly, or specific types of art from various artists, whether it's multimedia. So I mean, it's kind of it's like a hodgepodge in a way,
somewhat. And you're touching very much on that, Greg. So there's a couple things. Like I was just looking this up. Contemporary art is a term used for art of the present day. Usually the artists are alive and still making the work. Contemporary art is often about ideas and concerns rather than solely the aesthetics. Also, it says, what are the main features of contemporary art? And it's that there's the artist, the work of contemporary artists is a dynamic combination of materials, methods, concepts, and subjects that challenge traditional boundaries and defy easy definitions. So diverse and eclectic, contemporary art is distinguished by the very lack of a uniform organizing principle, ideology, or ism.
Well, you know what? That could be the same. that could be the same, if you stop and think about before the term contemporary art came out, that could be the same of what was happening in the early 20th century, actually even the late 19th century and the early 20th century, when modern art, which that term most likely came from anything that was in the classical style. So in the early 20th century, probably up until the 50s or the 60s or even the 70s, I think the word contemporary wasn't really used like that. That was what contemporary art in the early 20th century was considered, modern art, because it was against the grain of what classical art was. Sure. So, I believe that that's contemporary art has just morphed, or modern art has just kind of morphed into the contemporary category, if you will.
Correct, because it also states one of the benefits of contemporary art is that it allows individuals a means of personal expression. And I think that really helps sum it up as well.
Reason I brought it up is, being in radio, of course, when I started out in radio in 1969, somebody that hung out around
the
radio.
Weren't you
10? I was young. I always wanted to get in the radio. But and then when I became an actual broadcaster, I went and started work in 1971. The definition of music has changed over the years. I mean, when I started in 1971, the music we played was what they called middle-of-the-road music. And then there was rock and roll, which was basically 60s music. But then all of a sudden, about 73, 74, middle-of-the-road became an older music, slightly newer than oldies, but still newer. And then middle-of-the-road became top 40. And then all of a sudden you had adult contemporary, and then all of a sudden you had progressive, and as the time changed, the music changed, but the music stayed in that category once it changed. But art doesn't seem to do that. It's art seems, a person's, especially if they're famous artists, their work stands in its entirety, and I think Warhol can stay in a contemporary zone because it is contemporary. It's things people can relate to. It's different than the music industry. That's why I brought it up.
Well, I think there's an interesting point that you just started to touch on, that he could remain contemporary. So what happens in 100 years? Yeah. That's not contemporary any longer.
No,
not, you know, what does he become? What category do you put Andy Warhol in 100 years? You know, it's the same.
Well, that'll change. That'll evolve as time evolves, just like what Marshall was saying with the music industry. But I think the difference is art takes a little longer to evolve than the music industry does. The music industry is constantly evolving. I think art is evolving, but I think that it's a slower process, because I think that the artists, especially Picasso, Warhol, Basquiat, they were ahead of their time when they were producing. So people who bought them at the time really looked into the future, was able to really look ahead and say, wow, this is where art is going. And I think now we're just catching up with them at this state, and where is it going to be in the next 20 years? So I think that's one thing. I think artists either work in the present moment, or they're also, some are visionaries and they also are ahead of their time.
And I realize
here's a question, and I'd like to hear what you think about this, Marshall. You know, Tim just made a point about the contemporary art, and it's always evolving. What's going to happen? We haven't mentioned it yet, but what's going to happen in 20 years? Are the people who are doing these NFTs or whatever? Are those going to be considered contemporary artists or artists at all? So that's all. You know, you talk about art evolving, contemporary art evolving over the years. where will these people be in 20 years? Are these going to be great works of art? Are they just going to be a fad? I don't know.
I think the great thing about art and music is that, let's say, young artist, whether you're a painter or whether you're a musician, doesn't matter. You have influences in your life. So let's say you're a young painter and you're just getting started and you're talented, but you like looking at contemporary art. Do you become a contemporary artist because you like it and you follow that, or because it's a different time, are you a different type of artist? It's the same thing with music. When if you listen to something and in music, it happens all the time where they put in pieces of music from other forms of music. But in art, it's much more sophisticated. I hate to say this, but it's much more sophisticated. If you're an evolving artist, what are you going to consider yourselves?
Right. Well, I believe that an artist, a good artist, evolves and discovers his or her own voice by being influenced by other art and other artists. But I think they only really become successful and in their own right become individual artists when they do discover that voice. Otherwise, you're just, and we'll use music as an example. I just remember in the 60s when they had the whole Beatles thing. Just about every record or group that came out with something after the Beatles came out, it was very homogenous. It had the same sound until some of those people found their own. Some of them lasted, and because they found their own voice and moved forward, and some of them are still performing. They changed with the times, and some of them, like Herman's Hermits, it was very much like the Beatles. Where are they? Where are they now? So I think a lot of it has to do with an artist finding his own voice and trying to develop that to step outside the influence of the artists that had an influence on that person as they were coming up and learning. So I believe a lot of it has to do the people who are going to last and have lasted are the people who have found their own voice, even though they started by working with somebody else's voice. All right, and I think it's the same in music as well.
Now, we only have a few minutes left, but I have to bring this up. To me, this is blasphemy, and that is 3D printing robots all of a sudden recreating classics from many years ago, the Parthenon and more. I mean, to me, that's blasphemy. And you can create it, but it shouldn't be presented as art. I'm sorry, because you're just, it's almost like you're tracing. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what I think that is? I totally agree. I am right there with you on that. But to me, it's not the production of what the art is, the reproduction. It's the technology that is the art. And I don't say that's good or bad, but I believe that the result of that, of using technology to recreate art, it's not the recreation that is the art. I think it's the technology that has become the art. So there's a kind of a slippery slope there, and I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen with that, but I totally agree. I mean, to recreate some, like the Mona Lisa, for example, and not even have anybody touch the canvas, that's definitely just not right.
Well, you see, I brought a lot of different questions to you folks, and you answered every one of them. Congratulations. I didn't go off the deep end today.
This was one of the more fascinating subjects that we stumbled upon here. I enjoy this kind of this conversation. We don't get a chance to talk about it all that much.
I have questions, and I want answers. All right, guys, I want you to have a good week, and I'll speak to you next week.
Okay, have a great week.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. Of course, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.